It's no secret, of course, that the owners of Suffolk Downs in East Boston would very much like one of those new casino licenses. A gaming resort would radically transform life at the 77-year-old thoroughbred racing track that now feels a bit like a place out of time. In fact, the only context in which many of us even think about Suffolk Downs these days is in the casino debate.
Yeah, and I think that's too bad because, hundreds of people work back here, and they work very hard.
Author and photographer Melissa Shook has been hanging around the backside of Suffolk Downs for years, trying to capture the largely hidden lives of hot walkers, stall muckers, horseshoers, grooms, and trainers, most of them immigrants and very poor. Horse racing is a seasonal business, and most of the people who work the barns at Suffolk Downs are, at the moment, down south for the winter. But some remain, and Shook has taken me to one of the few hubs of activity, a double-wide trailer between the stables that houses the Eighth Pole, a nonprofit agency serving this community.
Mario, you're third, and then Ozzy, you're next, okay?
Monday is the doctor visits here in the Eighth Pole. They go on even over the winter so that people from the backside who live around here can come in. So they give out food and clothing, and they obviously do medical care.
The faces are friendly but a bit weary. Alcoholism and its associated health problems are rampant among these workers, but there's much more to life on the backstretch than that. We're here to talk about Shook's new book of pictures and poems. It's called My Suffolk Downs.
Do you want me to read you the one about Clemente?
Sure.
That guy, Clemente, known him a lot of years, used to be a jockey. One day he's on a white horse, perfect, you know, white, real white. He rides by and says, "Look, a black man on a white horse." And I says, "Looks like a fly in a glass of milk." The owner, she was there, couldn't stop laughing. Clemente's ridden by 6-8 times, straight back, black autumn jacket, black dressage helmet, like nothing other exercise riders wear, delicate face, a fine dark brown, voice high-pitched, and he sings. He sings riding slowly up the outside rail, sings galloping on the inside rail. He sings as he walks one horse back to the barn and when he gets on the next. He sings, he says, because he's happy. He sings, he says, to Jesus.
So tell me about that. What were you trying to capture?
Well, I was trying to capture Joe's pleasure in the joke. There's a lot of talking about race and a lot of teasing about race. It's much more comfortable back here than it is in what I'd call the real world. I have an interracial daughter, so I'm always interested in issues of race and how people talk about it and deal with it. When I moved up here from New York, I had lived in the Lower East Side with my daughter, and my work had been discovered by Jim Hughes at Camera 35, and he actually applied for a job for me. He decided that Chrissy needed a tree and shouldn't be living in the slums where junkies nodded on cars. And so he applied for a job at MIT. I came up here kicking and screaming. It was just as busing started. I hated Boston. The only comforting places I found were the bus station and the track. I have no idea who brought me here, but I used to come, and, you know, there were lots of people wandering around, men mostly, and sometimes drunk. And, you know, it felt like New York in the Lower East Side. You know, it felt...
What attracts you to it?
You know, I don't like horses. I'm terrified of them. I like the smell of them and the sound of them, but I just like it back here for some reason. I've managed to hang around with people who don't mind someone who doesn't talk much. I like to listen, and somehow I've just been able to hang around back here. It seems a miracle to me.
She's like a submarine. You can't see her, but she's a coming.
She's there.
She's here.
Let me jump in here and tell you that this is Jim Green and Shirley Edwards. They run the Eighth Pole, providing health care and other services to workers on the backstretch. Jim offers a little more context about the kind of folks that Shook is writing about.
Typically, they are migrant workers, what we would call marginally skilled. but specifically skilled. And a racetrack is defined as a migrant labor camp, which means there's no minimum wage, there's no 40-hour work week, there are no vacations, there's no holidays, there are no benefits. So traditionally, this group has been overlooked.
How did you guys come to know Melissa?
Candidly, Melissa fits. Now, if you try to explain what a backstretch is like, and what the backstretch population is like, outsiders could say we're very odd people. Around here, you don't take people lightly. They have to earn their way into your confidence. And Melissa did that from one end of this backstretch to the other.
Well, Melissa, could you read me one more of these sort of character portraits from your book?
Watching the outside heat from the inside heat at the window over the paddock, I see Eddie. Dark glasses, the number 2 vest flapping against his shirt, running a horse. As soon as he's halfway round the oval, he hoses his horse down. Nice spray of cool water all over, across the high-held head, the open mouth. Slowly, slowly, they walk beneath us in the shade of the bleacher roof, small circles. The other runners take their horses around the oval, in the sun. Eddie's horse moves nicely into the saddling stall, turns and stands patiently while the owner and valet saddle him up. Eddie leans into the horse's nose, talking, scratching his flat forehead. After the jockey mounts and Eddie delivers his reins to the pony rider, he disappears into the clubhouse to lay a bet, probably. But the horse and jockey, the pony rider, and outrider too come back into the paddock. He's lame, that horse is lame, the guy standing next to me mutters. But it's the stirrup. The jockey bends to strap it on, and they're off again, trailing all the others to the gate. The race is, as everybody says, the fastest minute something in the world. All that flesh and speed and color and training, maneuvering and danger, over almost before it begins. And number 2's come in first. Eddie dashes, fists in the air, into the winner's circle. After the official photo's taken and Eddie's leading the horse back to the test barn, I congratulate Bramante, the owner. Thanks. Nice old horse. 113 starts. Seems like yesterday in the 7th.
Seems like yesterday is the name of the horse.
Yes, yes.
What were you trying to capture with that story?
I was trying, I think, to capture Eddie's work ethic. The whole idea that all of this goes on for something that takes a minute and something. All of this endless work. All these people putting their energy into getting this horse ready.
They come into the final furlong.
And it's over.
Four lengths behind them. And Brass Hat and Willie Martinez have won the Mascap.
Melissa Shook's new book is called My Suffolk Downs. We focused on her poems, but her photographs of Eddie, Clemente, and all the other characters working with those beautiful horses, you can see them right now at RadioBoston.org.
Well, up next, a judicial critique of Massachusetts' proposed 3 strikes legislation. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Adam Ragusea. This is Radio Boston.